31, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Thank you.
got peace like a river in my soul. Colossians 3:1. before we go over it as a group, did anybody learn this verse and would like to say it? Okay, March, go ahead.
Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Amen. Good. Anyone else? Okay, let's say it together. Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. All right, very good. The Seabold, we'll turn it over to you now.
I'm going to hide in this house.
Oh, you want to go there?
That's right.
All right. Well,
this is such a...
Let's get the light on.
Is that an improvement or is it just... Amen. Sure, it's good to be in church. Amen.
Amen.
You remember how to say amen? Good. It's good to be here. And we've been a long time away, it seems like, and have been a good number of miles between the last time we saw you. We traveled about 1,300 miles in the lockdown period of time. And we were locked down all the time. You saw it outside there. We had never not been in that. So we've been locked down. That just moves along the ground as we go. And we were down in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia, and I want to tell you, I was just perpetual in prayer driving that motorhome up and down them little mountains there in West Virginia. No way, no way. Ma, what was the name of that church camp we went to in West Virginia? Yeah, capital M, capital, and I won't spell the whole word, but it ought to be capitalized, and because it is on the side of a hill. They had one kind of like a tabernacle down here, and they had another building up yonder here, and to go from this building to that building, they built stairways. That was nice of them. But there's 162 steps to go from here to up there. Now, the camp director and a few of the workers, they had a little go-kart, and then they had their automobile and so forth, so they could just zoom, zoom, zoom around. But old folks like me would have to walk. Oh, I want you to know I did not walk. I was a wimp. I understand that, but I just did not. And it's good to be here. Many, many things in the life of a Christian, and as you were singing, I was sitting back there thinking some of the time. Back home in the church I was at for those 38 years, we had testimony time. And I haven't cleared this with higher powers or anything else like that, but testimony time. It needs to be audible. It needs to be brief. And it needs to be Christ-centered. All right? Now, some of us are very shy. And so we'd say a few words, but thank God. And somebody have a testimony to thank God. It can be in any area here. Little dog had pneumonia and God cured him. Praise God. That's a blessing to somebody, whatever it is. Okay. Now you're looking at me like, you all need to say something. Okay. And this testimony, ain't God good to give us so many blessings, undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank him, love, and praise him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. So somebody with a testimony. Now, I'm not going to go. Okay? You need to raise your hand. You do not need to stand up. Yes, ma'am.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
I've got somebody holding their ear. And
I said, praise God from whom all blessings
Amen. Flow. All right. Got that. Amen. You don't have to sing it for us, but we'll do just fine. Yes. Amen. And before I was adopted into the family, God took care of me too. Isn't that great? God knew that he was going to adopt me, and things I shouldn't have done, he protected me. Unfortunately, some of the things I shouldn't have done, I did. And God's hand of protection is still on us. Somebody else. Audible brief. This is good. Good, good. Yes. Amen. Amen.
And when you get to sing together, and I'm thankful for the, and I know this gets talked about a lot, but I'm thankful that everybody else likes to sing here too.
Amen.
I like to sing.
Amen. That's good.
But I don't want to just hear me.
Amen.
Her either.
Amen. Somebody else. Audible, brief. That's good. I'm too shy. I can't talk. You are that way, right? How many, when you start to say something, your mind goes blank? That never happens to mine because it's blank all the time. Yeah, it just goes from that point. Somebody else. Count your blessings. Come on now. Share something. Ma? Amen. Amen. That's exciting. Train up a child. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but tearing up a child, the way you should go. And God's good. And it's worth the effort to invest in young people and some older folks, too. I'm looking at you. Do you like being called older folks? I don't. I know. Because I got no hair don't mean I'm an older folk. Amen. Somebody else. Thank God for a blessing. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what God has done. Back home, I'll catch you in a minute, okay? Don't run out. Back home at Solid Rock Baptist Church, they've been working the best they can under the restrictions that the state of New Jersey through the governor has put on them. And they have received a half a dozen citations for doing what they did. And with those citations, my son-in-law and his dad, Pastor Clark Jr. the third, they got those citations, and there's a financial fine that goes along with them. And if you had six of them, and I don't know how much time in jail, how much financial burden they can put on you, and it was for having a church service. The governor did not feel, and does not feel, that church is essential. I would dare say the majority of folks who are here this morning would think that church is essential.
Amen.
Amen. And I said, when I heard that, I was probably in a rude and crude mood, but I said to somebody, I was talking on the phone with him, but if we had to prove as a body of believers that church is essential, somebody might ask our church, we'll take the church back home, okay? Well, how many members do you have? How many were in church last Sunday? Isn't that, you know, in most of our Baptist churches, you have more on the rolls than you have on the normal Sunday morning.
That's right.
Is that right? I don't want to be prejudicial or joint. And so if Brother Charlie has to go in court and say, the judge asks or whoever's the attorneys or whatever, you feel church is essential? Does your body of believers, do they feel church is essential? Well, how many do you have on your membership list? How many were in attendance before the virus? How many were in attendance on an average Sunday? And your membership and in attendance, so is church really essential? I thank God when I walked in here, I knew there would be people and I would recognize your face. And there are a couple here that I don't recognize. That's because my memory's not too good. You've probably been coming for a long time and whatever. I had to ask my wife what somebody's name was. What's that? Anyway, but we need to not prove to a judicial board or an attorney that we feel church is essential. It just is. It just is. That's why we keep the doors open.
Amen.
That's why we keep the lights on, keep the pulpit supplied. Praise God for that. So we need to keep on and don't let, I don't have any predictions or anything else like that what the future holds, except Jesus is coming.
Amen.
The songwriter said, he's coming soon. There's no doubt. I'm going to leave this world with what? A shout. Now, that's called shouting Baptist, okay? Amen? Amen. These folks have lost their vocal cords since we were here last. All right? You nod your head every once in a while and so forth. That is good. I think the difference between the Chinese church and the American church is that when you preach in a Chinese church, they agree with most of what you're saying. When they're reading their Bibles, what do they do?
Yeah.
Up and down, up and down. But when you go into an American Baptist church, they read from left to right. And so standing behind the pulpit looks like everybody's disagreeing with what I'm saying. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Proverbs. This is Father's Day, and much can be said, much ought to be said, much should be said. Thank God for daddies. We are losing that. In 1900, thereabouts, I'm told that the divorce rate was in the neighborhood of 1 out of 100. It wasn't too far up, take 50 years or so, and it was 1 out of 10. Today, it's 1 out of 2. It's a difficult position to be in. And that's why the Bible says, train up a what?
Child.
Talk to me.
Child.
Train up a child in the way he should go. And so that there is a predetermined position that child is growing into. I mean, that's not the only thing that child needs to grow into. Right? Can you tell me something that you feel that a child, by a father, should be nurturing that child to grow into? Yes?
Honesty.
Honesty. Okay, great. Honesty. And now, we're in that preparation stage. And we in traveling around, there's not enough folks saying, this is right, this is wrong. Well, this may be right, this may be wrong. This could be, but it's not sometimes. No, I think there's some absolutes. Okay? And we need to train our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren once in a while in those, more than once in a while, but once in a while in those basic principles from the Word of God. Somebody else.
Work ethic.
Who?
Work ethic.
A work ethic. Amen. 6 days we labor, seventh day away. A work ethic. I'm running through my mind thinking, where are the workers? Where are the workers? I can quote unquote brag on my work ethic. But when I graduated from college, engineering school, and I was applying for a job, one, I had to work 40 hours a week and get paid for 40 hours. The other one, in the summertime, I would work for 32 and a half hours and get paid for 40. State of New Jersey, highway department, because it was summertime, you'd be sweating, so they cut your hours back to 32 and a half. Now, which one do you think I selected? Come on now, we'll vote on it. Which one do you think I selected? I mean, you get the same pay. You get a 40-hour pay. They don't cut your pay down or anything else like that. My mommy didn't have any dummies. Maybe she did. But anyway, I took the one 32 and a half hours. You know, it opened up the door to do a lot more with our teenagers for youth group activities and so forth and so on. But we need to have some work ethic. And not directly related to the dollar bill. All right. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 and 7. Most men will proclaim to everyone his own goodness. You ever get with somebody who all he wants to talk about is himself and inform you on the positive aspect of the, you know, over exaggerate that? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Now, what I got down here in my notes, I took the word fathers. And I think I spelled it right. F-A-T-H-E-R. Oh, good. Thank you. I appreciate your help. And fathers. And so if you would help me this morning and give me some off-the-cuff attributes of spiritual, qualified, good, qualified men who have taken the right road and their fathers. What would be, and it has to begin with an F, okay? We're going to go down, fathers, F-A-T-H. Okay, we're going right down, and fathers. One of the characteristics, I need more than one, but one characteristics of a father. Yes, ma'am.
Fear of God.
fear of God. Amen. That'll be built right into them when they're little bambinos. The fear of God. A reverential respect. It's not like a, ooh, it's like, wow. A reverential respect. Come on now, help me out.
Faithfulness.
Good. Good. Faithfulness. Yes, sir.
Fortitude.
That's a bigger word. Faithfulness, I understand, but fortitude? Who wants to give us a definition for fortitude?
Standing firm in the face of pressure.
Stands firm in the face of pressure. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it approved. He had his hand up, and you started talking. His mouth wasn't moving. My eyes aren't too good. All right. It's a characteristic, okay, of fathers to be faithful. Faithful. And is that a negative in our culture today? Do we find, generally speaking, most men, married men, as daddies, are faithful? What did I say the divorce rate was?
1 in 2.
1 in 2, 50%. Now, it could be the man, it could be the lady's getting divorced, and so forth, but there's not an abundance of faithfulness. Is that something you just get when you become a father?
Work.
No, it's something that mommy and daddy ought to be putting into these youngins. Amen? And it ought to be something that it is just part of our everyday economy. That a man be found faithful. And we need that once again in our culture, in our land. Let me read that verse again for you. Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Now, there's a difference between proclaiming and possessing. If I mention a golfer, I'll mention Tiger Woods. I don't have to convince you that he's a good golfer. May have character flaws, but he's a good golfer. And so we don't go around bragging on ourselves, but ain't God good to do something with you and do something for you and watch over you? Somebody said, I'm not the man I used to be. I've been born again. And so in that new birth experience, something changed, right? Now, you weren't changed to perfection, but you were put on the right road to perfection. You were put in that, again, I'm going to use the word direction, but you were put in that direction. Verse number 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. You know, that songwriter said, how great thou art. How great I am. Somebody will sit down and write that. But sometimes, you know, you just want people to notice. I mentioned my golf game. Now, I wouldn't say much about my golf game except you brought it up. If I want to say, if you have a talent or piano player. Well, I don't know how to play the piano. You don't want to misrepresent the truth. But thank God for the talents that he's given you to play the piano. To God be the glory. Brag on Jesus for all the good things that he's allowed you to do.
That's right. Yeah.
Take no credit for yourself.
Amen.
But let God get all the praise and glory for your capabilities, inabilities, whatever it is. When I said inabilities, I meant to say inabilities. You have any of you overcome an inability? Come on now. If I was to say, I'm done, I'm tired right now, and I'm just going to, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I'm going to call on a man to come up here and finish. I leave my notes. Some of you started praying, not me, not me, not me, not me. And we don't usually brag on our inabilities, but ain't God good to do something, even with our inabilities? You put a dime in Rev and he won't shut up. Okay? And when I was in school, college, speech class, in Bible school, they had you come up and preach a message. It wasn't happening. You know? I stood there what it seemed like an eternity with all you folks. It wasn't you folks, but all you folks just looking at me until finally the professor says, sit down. Just sit down. I said, phew. That wasn't good for my grade, but it was sure good for my countenance to get at. You ever been to that? I worked as an engineer when I was in Bible college, and I was assigned to go to GE and talk to several people inside there, and I couldn't do it. I can't say my knees were knocking, but I just could not do it. I walked around the building once to get up my nerve. It's not an exaggeration. Came back to the door. I figured, well, if I do it one more time, I walked around the whole building, outside block, and came back. I couldn't do it. Third time, I had no choice. I remember to close the building up or something like that, but I got up enough courage to get inside the building. God can do some things with you that you think you can't do. God can do that. And the ability God will develop with you. Fathers are faithful. Did you say any other words besides faithful? I didn't write anything down. Ma, are you keeping note for me? Good, very good. Some of you chuckled, I know. Some of you chuckled when I said ma. I sent home a quip on every Saturday to a good number of preachers. And I try to kind of motivate them. And the preachers, most of them are married, so for the raising of their kids and stuff like that. But here's the statement. Behind every good man, there's what? Good women. You have a very smart class here. Behind every good man. And so, ladies, you ought to be looking out there for a good man. Good men, you're out there looking for. We're behind each other. Amen? Huh? In one of the colleges that I was in, my wife was finally recognized for her talents. And at graduation time, she called up and she got a degree from the college. And it was a PhD. See, I can't even figure out what that might stand for, but you got it and I didn't. All right? Anybody know what that stands for? It was a 4-year college and she got a PhD. And it stands for Put Hubby Through. Push? Is that why I'm all bent over? Push hubby through. And as I said earlier, that concept, ladies, you know, why am I always taking a back seat? Because you are helping what God ordained to get through and do what God wants him to do. Amen. At the rate we're going, we'll spell father F-A. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thank you. So we're going to say the F can stand for faithful. I think you used that word, did you not? You did. Okay, faithful. Give credit where credit's due. I understand. Thank you. Appreciate that. Keeping score here. Available. Available is the one word that I wrote down. Deuteronomy 6 and 7. 6 and verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Family devotions. How many of you are familiar with family devotions? All right, you're familiar with the idea in family devotions. I'm of the persuasion that teaching is a 24-hour-a-day experience. And I would advocate when you have 4 or 5 kids and one is 2 and the other one's 12, you're going to have a hard time having family devotions. So rather than have 20-minute family devotion after dinner and before we get dessert, I would advocate, as we did in our home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, family devotions. My oldest girl married a preacher. JJ married a preacher, my middle girl. And my oldest girl married a missionary. Part was the idea that it was a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week ministry. If you are 7 years old and you just ate a good meal and you want to go out and ride your bike, but dad says, no, you can't go. It's time for family devotion. Listen to me. This family is a godly family, and we have to have our... You're not listening to me, son. Listen to me. We have to have our family devotions before we go out. Show me. Family devotion is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're going to have family devotions. Get up in the morning. We're going to talk about how God is so good. Open up that window. Look out there. Who do you think made that son get up in the morning? It wasn't me, not his dad. And so we build it in. I'm not down in the idea of having a half hour, an hour, whatever, family devotion. But you don't want to turn the switch off and turn the switch on. The way you drive your automobile is a testimony of your godliness. You say, Rev, you've been coming here for a little while, and that's all you do is pick up my driving. My wife keep. I got a bruise right here. I'm not going to show you, but right here is a bruise from where my wife's been hitting me for the last time. See, you hear that? You hear that? You know those little signs that are painted white with black numbers on it? They're not guessing your age. I just went by one that said 45. I said, praise God. He guessed right. Finally, I got one of these guys who painted a sign and said, it's right. Family devotions. A father, I wrote for A, available, okay? You have better ideas, write them down, you know, available. I really think dads ought to be available. Don't bother me now, son. I'm busy. Don't be too busy that you don't have time for your son. I've enjoyed the trip. I've enjoyed kids. I've enjoyed older kids. Enjoy it. Make yourself available. I probably mentioned this before, but I had my three girls, and we were at a conference, and one of my daughters was attracted to a young man that was there. But the young man was from some Midwestern state. And conference everywhere, it was a teenage conference. And she wanted to talk a little further with this Christian teenage man, young man. And I knew the family, and I knew the young man's father. But I had to take 30 kids back to New Jersey. And she was short on time to make his acquaintance. And you know what I said? Tough. There's more than one fish in the sea. I said to her, you want me to take these 30 kids all the way back to New Jersey, drop them off, leave the bus there, get in my car, Ma and I, we're going to get a car, we're going to drive another, I'll say 700 miles, we're going to drive 700 miles to pick you back up. You got all your marbles? Just so you can say a little longer goodbye to this young man? This young man was a man of character. Godly young man from all my perspective I had. And I said, would I travel 700 miles to get a good man? To get a spiritual man? To get a man that my daughter's interested in? I drove all those kids back home, got rid of the bus, got in that car, and drove another 700 miles, 800 miles, more than 700, because Why? I want to make myself available. You know, I like it when God says, you can have this, and you can have this, and you can have this, and you can have this. Well, if he says I can have this, this, and this, I'm a happy camper. When I got to try and talk my way into it, I'm on the wrong ground. Now, as a dad, you need to be available. As a grandfather, you need to be available. Somebody needs to talk to these kids as they're growing up. And sometimes there's nobody better than grandma and grandpa to do the talking to them. Okay, fathers are, what did I say the F was?
Faithful.
Thank you. You remind me. This is a sieve that you see up here, so it goes in one ear and out the other. Okay, faithful. And the A was?
Available.
Available, dads. And the same concepts can be applied to mommy. Sometimes, more often than not, they need mommy's shoulder to cry on. They like dad, but mommy's there, okay? And mommies aren't soft, okay? I think my three girls would rather talk to me than to talk to mommy. You know, she gets right to the point. I do a little bit of child psychology, round and round and round and round. Every once in a while, I'll be talking to one of the girls, and one of the other girls will say to mom, isn't he ever going to be quiet? Isn't he ever going to stop talking to her? She got the message already. Yeah. Anyway, what's the next letter in father?
T.
Who? T. Give me a word that begins with T. That would be part of a characteristic of a father. Who?
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. Yes. Above reproach. Trustworthy. Not every promise that I've made or you would make as a father, you're going to ever to fulfill. But if you make a promise, you do your very best to fulfill it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I believe that we need to do that. We lived in New Jersey all our life. My oldest girl, Miss K, Miss J, and Miss D. The oldest one, when she turned about 6 or 7, she said, Daddy, there's woods out in back of the house. Can I get a horse? This is New Jersey. There's a beautiful home right across the street, and on where we're on a residential block. But in back of us, they hadn't developed it yet, and there's about 50 acres of land. Can I get a horse? Can I get a horse? Just about that time, a lady in the church said, Rev, I've got a horse. It is a pony. Not a horse, but I've got a horse, a pony. And I want to get rid of it. How would you like it? I said, Lord. All right. So, I think it was this one. We picked up 3 horses and a couple of others along the way. But I said, okay, we'll get it. And the ladies whose it was, she took the, it was a pony. She took the ponies for kids to ride around, all that kind of stuff. We had to go pick it up. Now, I've got no, what do you call them, carts you put behind your car? But she had a Ford Falcon convertible. I said, I can't pick it up. She said, I'll bring it to you. She got that pony. Inside, no, there was no roof, it's convertible. Got that pony in the back seats, the pony's down, and it was her pony. It was hurting her to give it up, but she knew it was going to a good home. Because if anybody's crazy enough to pick up a car, I mean, pick up a pony in that capacity. So what do you do if you're living in a residential area and if you got a pony now? And if people are waking up and they're going, you feed it. You know what time you feed the horse at? 6 o'clock. And you know what Miss K said? Daddy, could you feed it? And I said, Miss K, you want a divorce, you get up and feed it. We come in that night or another night's another time and it's raining. Daddy, it's wet outside. Miss K, you go out and feed it. Ma, George, you're not gonna let her go out in the rain, in the dark. And I said, I will show that I am a loving, kind, benevolent father, and I will go out and feed the horse. But anyway, why do you do that? Why do you do that? And I'm not patting myself, believe me, I'm not patting myself. What I'm saying, why do you do that?
Because you love your kids.
Because you love your kids and you want the best for them. There was no, I don't want the pony. She wouldn't be able to ride for another 3 years. She'd be doing them, you know, where they stand in the stirrups. That's where she would be. She was willing to accept whatever God had deemed for her by way of her mom and dad. We need to teach to train in a way they should go. It's unbelievable. My son-in-law wanted to make sure that his daughter was interested in the right man. So what's he do? He gets in a plane and will go and fly and check out the man. In other words, you need to be available. You need to do that. You need to be what God wants you to be. We need to be teachers in training. Train up a child. Let's go with age quickly. And I'm just going to give you what I've got written down here for characteristics of a father. A father is hardworking. Hardworking. And we need to allow our children to learn how to work hard. They need to learn by example.
Yes.
Train up a child, away she go. There needs to be that example. And it is not a begrudging example. It's a joyful example. And since I've been using myself for all the illustrations here this morning, I've not always been joyful. Kids get the bright idea. We need chickens in New Jersey, in a residential area. So if you have chickens, you got to build a chicken coop. Well, it's Saturday morning visitation time, and the chickens are being dropped off at 10 o'clock, and I have no place to put these chickens. So I got up early, and I said, girls, we're getting up, we're getting to go, we're going to go out and build a chicken coop. Well, I wasn't in a good mood. And all along, we had a bunch of people living with us. You know, two of the girls dropped off, went back to, you know, I got to, you know, and so forth and so on. And before long, I'm standing out there by myself with Ma, because I was not a good working specimen. And so we need to be hard workers, and we need to be good examples. There is joy in serving Jesus. Amen? And I wanted my kids to understand a whole lot of things, and so I would do, and I think we should do it as family, as grandparents and great-grandparents, get as much involved with your kids as you possibly can. Now, I know this is not deep theology, but it's very practical stuff that will help us redeem our young people. Father, F-A-T-H, hard worker. Enthusiastic, that's E, okay, enthusiastic. Whatsoever, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Enthusiastic, get all excited. Can you do that? You say, well, I'm too old, I have a heart attack. No, get excited and keep it under control. There needs to be some dynamics. The youngster comes home from school, and I'm a grandpa, and they want to show me what they did in school today. I want to be enthusiastic about that. I want to be rejoicing, number one, that they're in a Christian school in a Christian environment. I want to enjoy the fact that they're being taught by Christian teachers. I want to enjoy the fact that they're praising God for what they've been able to do along the way. Grandma, grandpa, you need to be excited. If you were standing where I am standing, I am looking at the most exciting group of people that I've ever met in my whole life. Okay? Well, I'll take the total 95%, 98% of it. It's the recipients of what I'm saying, so it's not all that exciting. But if you were standing where I'm standing and talking about the chickens, talking about the chicken coop, talking about Tony the Pony and Major and so forth and so on, talking about the two swimming pools, talking about 40, 50, 60 kids coming, and for 8 weeks to your backyard using your bathroom to change their wet clothes until we built them a shed out in the woods. We have one over here for the girls, one over here for the boys. Why did you do that? So they could become missionaries? Justin Warner, back home teaching, was in Africa. His wife got sick, he had to come back home, but he's still serving God. For one, the value of one? Are you out there? The value of one? God needs you to place a value on somebody else besides the one that you shave in the morning or use to comb the hair. The value. Why are we not as a nation, why are we not as Christian as we should be? Why are we not as distinguished as we should be? Maybe because we haven't jumped on the wagon and said, we're going to do something for God. Well, I heard the alarm clock go off right over here. Do you understand? It's more than a card. It's a lifetime. It's more than solo devotions. It's all the time. Your son was not selected to play on a basketball team or whatever it was. And it's something that was sanctified and you approved, but he wasn't selected. I don't think you want to pat him on the shoulder and say, that's tough, get over it. Bible teaches us that we weep with them that weep. And we rejoice with them that rejoice. My son-in-law has three kids. Two of them are married. The other one is interested in a young man from their Christian college. She's interested. So with this COVID stuff, so forth and so on, kids haven't been in college. So my granddaughter and my son-in-law are going on a plane and flying to where he lives. Why would he do that? He didn't really know the gentleman that well and didn't really know the parents of that gentleman real well. But he wanted his daughter to have every opportunity to make sure this is the right one. How many buy a car by just looking at the brochure? And sometimes, well, my child, we need to participate, dads, in a selecting process. When you can say, well, I do. I get the final vote. Well, you better start soliciting that vote or soliciting the quality of that vote now. Grandpa, you know, well, if my granddaughter wanted it, I'm going to get it for her. No. You better decide pretty smart whether or not it's good for her. So in the process, let me say this and I'll stop. But in the process, you are intimately involved in choosing the wife for your grandson. My daughters are nervous coming to me and say, Daddy, well, the boy came to me first, but Daddy, hey, the choice was already made. Who chose Brother Charlie for Miss J?
God did,
but God put the pattern. God put you as a dad, a granddad, or a great-grand. God puts you there to be involved in a pattern. Ladies, when you make a dress, what do you need? You need a pattern. I bought one, put it in a drawer. If you bought one and you put it in a drawer, it's not going to help your dress to turn out the way it should. Well, it's time to stop. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Trust something that was said would be helpful. And Lord, give us wisdom. Give us your wisdom. Give us your guidance. And Lord, we pray that in this nation, we would once again see your hand moving and your people being used. We thank you for this place and the testimony it's been over the years. And Lord, we're thrilled and excited about the days that lie ahead with what you will do, what you want to do, what your desire is. Lord, we give you praise now for doing some great things. In Jesus' name I would ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention. It's rambling with Rev.